Turn in God's Word this morning to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. I read this in connections with Lord's Days 26 and 27 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Titus 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing may be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. This is God's holy and inspired word. May He bless it to our hearts this morning. It's on the basis of that passage and others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Days 26 and 27, questions 69 through 73. From Lord's Day 27, we'll save question 74 regarding the baptism of infants to a later sermon. Now we look at Lord's Days 26 and the first two questions in Lord's Day 27. Question 69, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only, and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the main question that the Heidelberg Catechism poses to us this morning is, what does baptism testify to you and to me? What is baptism's testimony? Or another way to put that question is this: when the parents brought their infants up to the platform this morning and the water of baptism was sprinkled upon their foreheads, what was the meaning of that sacrament? What was the message that went forth from that sacrament to the congregation and to these families? The question that we face is, what is the meaning or the testimony of baptism? That is the question is evident from question 69, which introduces this whole line of thought. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? There the catechism begins to give an answer. It gets into the heart of the answer, or the ground for its answer. But the question that it's asking is, how are you admonished by baptism? How are you assured by baptism? Or to put that a little different way, what is baptism's testimony to this congregation this morning? And the catechism has one clear answer to the question, what is baptism's testimony? And the one clear answer is this: you are washed. Washed. That's the testimony of baptism. When the infants are brought forward, they're washed. And when we remember that that sacrament once was applied to us, then we remember too that we are washed. The catechism emphasizes that baptism's testimony is that we are washed. Let's go through the catechism a moment just to see how often the catechism uses that word washed or similar words to emphasize. In answer 69, the word wash is used four times. Christ appointed this external washing. And then the next line, I am certainly washed by his blood and spirit. I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70, what is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? Question 71, where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? And then in answer 71, two passages of Scripture are quoted that both describe baptism as washing, washing of regeneration and washing away of sins. Question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? And the answer, no, for the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ only cleanse, a similar word to wash, cleanse us from all sin. Question 73, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? And then the answer uses the word purged, and our sins removed and spiritually cleansed and externally washed. Again and again and again, the catechism uses the word washed. That's the testimony of baptism to us this morning. You and I and our children, as many as God has called, are washed from all our sins by the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that is encouraging. That is a message that warms the heart of the people of God, because we recognize our guilt and our filth and our pollution. But the testimony of baptism to us today is that for Jesus' sake, you and I have been washed from all our sins. So let's consider that word of God this morning at the occasion of the administration of baptism under the theme, Baptism's Testimony Washed. In the first place, consider the meaning. In the second place, consider the ground. And in the third place, consider the assurance. Baptism's testimony washed. The meaning, the ground, and the assurance. We have to begin this morning by seeing why it is necessary that we be washed. Baptism's testimony is that we are washed, but if we're already clean, if we don't need to be washed, then there's no meaning in that testimony. And so we begin by acknowledging, as the Catechism does and as Scripture does, that we are filthy, and our filth is our sin. The Catechism acknowledges that right away in question and answer 69, when it says, I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul. And that word pollution is an ugly word. That word pollution refers to all of the filth that clings to someone. And my soul is polluted. It has filth clinging to it. And as the Catechism goes on to explain, that filth and that pollution is my sin. And then the Catechism goes on to show that this cleansing of our pollution of our souls is pictured by the cleansing of water, the application of water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. The filthiness of the body. There's a picture of the filthiness of our souls. It's something like this, that perhaps a man works all day in the earth, and at the end of the day his hands are covered with the dirt of the earth, and when he goes to wash his hands in the water that collects in the sink is all black and dark and filthy. There's that filth that clings to our bodies. Well, that's the picture of what our souls are like. Our souls are polluted by nature. They're filthy with sin. Titus explains some of that filth in verse 3, Titus 3, verse 3, where Paul says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's filthy. That's pollution. That's dirty, spiritually dirty. Paul says, this is what characterized us, and this is what characterizes us by nature according to our old man of sin. Now, as we observe that filth and acknowledge it, we recognize that there's two aspects to that filth. The first aspect of that filth is the guilt of our sin. That is, what we deserve because of our sin. The condemnation, the damnation that we deserve because of our sin. And we read through Titus 3, verse 3 again. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What does such a man deserve? He deserves to be condemned. That's part of his filth. It's his guilt that his sins earn him. It's the condemnation that his sins earn him. But then the second part of our filth is the actual pollution of our souls, the dirtiness that cleaves to us. And as we read through Titus 3, verse 3, we might think this about the man being described there. He's ugly. He's disgusting. He's disobedient to God who created him. He serves diverse lusts and pleasures. He's the slave of his whims. He's the slave of the sins of this world. That's disgusting. He lives in malice and envy. He's hateful, and they lived in hatred one for another. That's disgusting. It's that filth of pollution that cleaves to us, that characterizes our old man of sin, and that the Bible in other places describes as being dead in trespasses and sins. Those are the two aspects of the filthiness of our sin, the guilt and the pollution. And that's a grave problem for the child of God, because the child of God recognizes, I have that old man of sin. And what Paul describes here characterizes my nature. By nature, I live in malice and envy. By nature, I would serve the lusts of the flesh and pleasures of the flesh. The child of God recognizes this is a description of me according to my old man of sin. I'm filthy. The child of God recognizes too, this is a description of my children. This is what I gave them. This is the only thing I could give them. By nature, I gave them that depraved nature so that they're dirty, they're disgusting, they're filthy spiritually in themselves. The testimony of baptism is that that filth is washed. It's cleansed, it's purged, washed away. As question and answer 69 says, Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. I'm washed, I'm cleansed from the pollution of my soul, from that filthiness and ugliness and that disgusting sin. Now, as the Catechism explains this washing, it indicates that there are two washings that go on. Baptism testifies of two washings. The first washing is the external washing, the washing with water. That's what all of us saw this morning when the sacrament of baptism was administered. We saw water being dipped out of the font and sprinkled on the heads of the babies. And it's good that we see that water. We see that external washing. When I first came to Byron Center, and probably through most of my ministry, I probably haven't used enough water in baptism, dipping in just a very little bit, maybe one drop for Father, one drop for Son, one drop for Holy Ghost. And it was pointed out, we can't see the water. There's water being applied, we know there is, but we can't see it. And so now there's a lot of water administered so that even Father's suit coat is splashed probably a bit with some of the water. But it's good that we see that water, that external washing with water, because that's a picture of the second washing, and the second washing is the washing away of the filth of the body. And both of those washings are described in question and answer 69. Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise that I am as certainly washed, and then we may read, internally or spiritually by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins. Now that external washing is important, but it's important only as a sign and as a seal. That external washing is not the internal washing itself. That external application of water is not the cleansing of sin itself, as the Catechism explains in 72, is then the external baptism with water, the washing away of sin itself. Not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. That's the washing to which we look by faith. That's what we observe and behold by faith as the sacrament is administered, this the internal spiritual washing. And then, as we study the Catechism further, we find that that internal washing from our sin has two aspects. First of all, there's being washed by the blood of Christ. And second, there's being washed by the Spirit of Christ. The internal washing, which is the real washing, has those two aspects, by the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of Christ. And it's striking how often the Catechism emphasizes that. To make our way through the catechism again, that's answer 69. I am washed by His blood and Spirit. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit? And then the answer explains those two things, which we'll get to in just a moment. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit? Answer 72, the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. And then answer 73, our sins are removed by the blood and Spirit of Jesus Christ. Throughout the catechism here, both the blood and the Spirit of Christ are referred to. Baptism testifies that we are washed by blood and that we are washed by the Spirit. And so now our task is to examine each of those. What does it mean to be washed by the blood of Christ? And what does it mean to be washed by the Spirit of Christ? Let's begin with the blood of Christ. What is it to be washed with the blood of Christ? To be washed with the blood of Christ means that my sins are forgiven. Washing with the blood of Christ answers to that first part of sin's filthiness, the guilt of sin. When we sin, we deserve to be condemned. We deserve to be cast into hell. We deserve, before the bar of God's justice, to be declared guilty. But being washed with the blood of Christ, that guilt is all washed away. All of it is purged, so that when we stand before the bar of God's justice, we're not guilty. We are innocent. None of the guilt of sin is counted as ours. All of the guilt of sin, of our sins, having been counted to Jesus Christ. And that's the way the Catechism describes that washing with the blood of Christ in the first part of answer 70. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice upon the cross. Being washed in the blood of Christ means that our guilt is purged. And the name that we give to this gift of salvation is justification. Being washed with the blood of Christ, having our sins purged, is the gift of justification. The righteousness of Christ is counted as ours as we stand before God so that we are not guilty. That's a great washing. That's a beautiful washing, an encouraging, comforting washing. We, as parents, know that we and our children then, when we stand before the bar of God's justice and our own conscience now, and someday in the final judgment, that before the bar of God's justice, we'll hear this, you're innocent. We'll hear this, you're not guilty, because I have washed you from all your guilt in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it is to be washed in the blood of Christ. What about that second internal washing, being washed by the Spirit of Christ? To be washed by the Spirit of Christ means that the Holy Ghost in our hearts cleanses us from the sin that clings to our hearts, cleanses us from that pollution, that the Holy Spirit makes us new creatures who have a new life that truly does love God, that serves Him, that loves the neighbor, so that instead of living in malice and envy against each other and in hatred one for another, we live in love of the brother and love of the neighbor and love of God. Being washed with the Spirit answers to that second aspect of the pollution of sin. That is, the cleaving of that sin to us, the stain of that sin upon our souls, the power of that sin to keep us in its grips so that we cannot do anything but sin. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and cleanses us so that we are able, by that new life of the Spirit, to love God and to serve Him. The Catechism expresses that in answer 70, in the second part of the answer. To be washed with the Spirit of Christ is to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ. Renewed and sanctified. And this is the gift that we call sanctification. And the result, the fruit of that sanctifying work of the Spirit in our hearts to make us new creatures, is, as the Catechism says, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives by the work of the Spirit washing us from that pollution of sin. We are able, by His work, to die unto sin, to hate it, to flee from it. And we are able, by that work of the Spirit, more and more to lead holy and unblameable lives, so that when God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me," by that operation of the Spirit, we put away those gods, whatever they may be, whatever we're tempted to give our life to. When God says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we put away that kind of speech from us, from our own mouths, but from our ears as well. By the work of the Spirit, we're sanctified to live unto God and unto Christ, to His glory. Titus 3 talks about both of these gifts, both of these washings. In Titus 3, we read of the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's verse 5, and that's the reference to baptism. In verse 7, Paul teaches the truth of justification, that being justified by God's grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's that gift of justification. There's the washing by the blood of Christ. But then Titus 3 refers also to that washing by the Spirit when it says the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 8, "I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." And then again in verse 14, "Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." The testimony of baptism is that we are washed from the guilt of our sins by the blood of Christ, and that we are washed from the pollution of our sins by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the washing that you and I receive for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, those are both washings, that justification and that sanctification. They're both washings. There are differences between those two washings. The washing of justification is complete. That is, when we are washed by the blood of Christ from the guilt of our sins, we are perfectly righteous. Justification is not a process. Justification is not something that we get a little bit of now, and then later we'll get a little bit more of, and then someday we'll have even more yet of justification. Justification is a declaration now. You're forgiven, completely, perfectly forgiven. You stand right now before the bar of God's justice, just as righteous as you will be in heaven. In heaven, you will not be more righteous than you are now. Because right now already, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is counted as yours. His perfect righteousness, which is full and complete and absolutely without any lack, that righteousness is counted as ours. That justification is complete now. We are righteous before the bar of God's justice. Whereas that second washing, the washing of sanctification, is not complete in this life. That is, I retain my old man of sin. The Holy Spirit cleanses my heart. He renews me and makes me a new creature. But He does not yet entirely cast away that old man of sin. He will do that for me someday. The Holy Spirit will annihilate that old man so that that old man doesn't exist anymore. That's what happens at the moment of our death. Then instantly, We are translated into heaven. Our souls are translated into heaven. And that soul then is only the new man. There is no old man anymore that goes to heaven with us. That full casting away of the old man waits for that moment of our death. But now the Holy Spirit does sanctify me unto Christ and does renew me, so that the fruit is there's progress. It's a new beginning, and only a small beginning, but it's a beginning, and there's progress, and the Catechism speaks of that progress. I more and more die unto sin and lead a holy and unblameable life. The idea of that more and more is that as the Spirit sanctifies me, I understand the horror of sin, the filthiness of it, the ugliness of it, the disgustingness of it, and I hate it more and more and want to put it away from me more and more. And by the Spirit's work of sanctification, I more and more desire to live a holy life of honoring and serving Jehovah God. There's a difference between justification and sanctification. But both of them are described in our catechism as the washing that we receive. And this is an encouragement for us as the people of God who daily have to battle with our sins and our sinfulness. When that temptation rises and we fall into it, and we remember the testimony that we saw this morning in baptism and heard in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're washed. You're washed from that guilt and from that iniquity. That fall into sin does not condemn you, though that sin was awful, though there's no excuse for that sin. It doesn't condemn you because you're washed from your guilt by the blood of Christ. And when that temptation rises again, then we remember the testimony of baptism this morning. You're washed by the Holy Spirit. You're sanctified so that you're able by His power, not by your power, but by His power, to fight that sin and to war against it. There's assurance and comfort for the child of God who must live in this wicked world and face all of these temptations. And there's comfort for parents who have brought their children to the baptism font to have the water applied to them. The testimony of God is that as many of those children as I call, I also wash. I wash from all their iniquities by the blood of Christ, and I wash from their pollution by the Spirit of Christ, so that they too, by my power and my grace, will be able to live unto me in this life. We're washed. We're washed, as baptism testifies. And that raises the question for us, where did this right come from to be washed? Washing is not something that's automatic. Not everybody has the right to this cleansing and this purging and this washing. How is it that filthy sinners like you and me have the right to be washed? What's the ground? What's the foundation? What's the reason why we can have this testimony and we can have this reality? It would be something like this. If somebody appeared at your door who was absolutely filthy, filthy because of his own sin. Let's say that he had given himself to drink, and you can smell the spirits wafting off his breath. Because he had given himself to drink, he's absolutely filthy with no home to live in. You can see the snot and vomit matting his beard. You can see the lice jumping out of his hair. Absolutely disgusting, and he walks up to your door and says, I have the right to use your shower and clean myself up. And our response would be, well, I will help you somehow. I'll take you somewhere where you can be cleaned and get help, but you don't have the right to my family's home and to bring in all of the vermin and disease that might come in. All right, the point isn't how we respond to somebody who might come to our door and needs our help, but the point is to say not everybody has the right to come into our home. And that's the way it is for us spiritually. We don't show up at God's door with all of our filthy disgustingness and say, I automatically have the right to be washed because of who I am, because of something in me. That's not the ground of our right to be washed, but the ground of our washing is found in one place and one place alone, and that's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only ground of our washing. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism says in question 69. That's the way it begins, its entire treatment of washing. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? There's the ground for everything that follows. So that whether we're talking about the washing in the blood of Christ or whether we're talking about the washing by the Holy Spirit, the only reason we have a right to either of those washings is because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He has given Himself to the cross as the legal foundation for our being the children of God whom He does wash. That's the perspective of Titus 3 as well. After Paul has listed all of our sins and sinfulness, then he says in verse 6 that God shed this mercy on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The one reason, the one ground, the one foundation that gives us a right to this washing is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how is that the ground for our washing? Well, let's take that first washing, which may be a little easier and more obvious to see. The washing away of our guilt in the blood of Christ. How is the cross of Christ the ground for the forgiveness of our sins? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon Himself on the cross every single sin that we had committed, all of our guilt, and He suffered the full wrath of God against it for our sins. And He exhausted it so that there is no more curse left for us to bear. That's the atonement. That's what was happening on the cross. God was cursing Christ for our guilt. That's the ground for the washing with the blood of Christ. That's the ground then for the declaration that we are righteous with the righteousness of Christ. He died for us, gave Himself in our place as our substitute. But that cross of Christ is also the ground or the foundation of our washing with the Holy Spirit, our sanctification. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was buying something for us, purchasing something for us. He was earning something for us. What He was purchasing for us is all of the gifts of salvation. Not only the forgiveness of sins, but purchasing also for us the right to be washed with the Holy Spirit, the right to have the Holy Spirit, the right to all of the joys of heaven. Every aspect of our salvation was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And that all was purchased for us by Him on the cross because He went there as our head, as our covenant head. He suffered all of the wrath of God that we deserved and received from God the great promise of the Holy Spirit. As Peter explained in Acts 2, He hath ascended into heaven and received the promise of the Holy Ghost, which Holy Ghost He then poured out upon us. The Lord Jesus Christ earned for us by His death on the cross all the blessings of salvation, including our sanctification, which is wrought for us by the Holy Spirit of Christ. The cross, then, is the ground and the only ground of our salvation. And that's what Paul teaches in Titus 3 as well. Strikingly, Paul teaches that in Titus 3, in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In this passage, Paul especially is talking about that second washing that is the purging of the Holy Spirit, purging of our sins by the Holy Spirit. And he says, that was not given because of the works of righteousness which we had done. Even that washing of regeneration was through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 6. The ground, the one reason we have the right to be washed, is the Lord Jesus Christ and His complete work. And that means then that for us as sinners who are confronted with our sin and with the sins of our children and grandchildren, we seek washing before the throne of God for Jesus' sake and for Jesus' sake alone. So that our prayers sound this way: forgive my sins for Jesus' sake, because of what He has done, forgive my sins. And cleanse us by Thy Holy Spirit that we may more and more live unto Thee for Jesus' sake, because of what Jesus Christ has done. That cross of the Lord, the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the right and the only right that we have to all of this washing. And that means that this washing is sure. That means that this washing is yours. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done His work. He's accomplished everything that's necessary. This washing is ours. Now there are implications of this truth that the ground of our washing is Jesus Christ and His cross. One of the implications of this is that the source of all of our washing is the love and the mercy of God. How is it that Jesus could even go to the cross? How is it that He would die in our place? We didn't put Him there by our plan. We didn't come up with this salvation from our sins. How is it that Jesus even went to the cross? Well, it was the love and mercy of God, as Titus 3 teaches. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The love of God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. The love of God for us, the eternal love of God, in which He chose us and gave us to Christ as our head. It's that love of God that sent Christ to the cross and is the source then and ultimate cause of all of our washing. And that means that your washing is sure and mine is sure, because it comes out of the love of God. And then there's another implication of this truth, that the ground of our washing is the cross of Christ. The implication is that we receive that washing by faith. By faith. Now, Paul doesn't explicitly teach that, but he alludes to it in verse 8, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. He alludes to that faith, that believing in God. The idea is that we receive all of this washing of our guilt by faith, and we receive this washing of our pollution by faith. That is, we're justified by faith, and we're sanctified by faith. This is how we receive all these blessings that Jehovah God has given us in Christ. you and I have assurance that this washing is ours. If there's any point besides washing that the Heidelberg Catechism is making, it is this point of assurance that you may be sure you are washed. The Catechism says that we have assurance of our washing because of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. That first, that's in question 71. Where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? Christ made a promise. He made that promise in the Great Commission, which the Catechism quotes in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's the promise that He will wash His people. He made that promise in Titus 3, verse 5, where He called baptism the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Ghost. There's a promise that God's people are washed. The Lord Jesus Christ has given His own word, His own promise, that you and I shall be washed. And that gives us assurance, because that word of Christ cannot be broken. In the second place, Christ gives us the assurance that we are washed through the sacrament itself. This is one of the means of grace that He has appointed in order to strengthen our faith, that is, increase our trust and increase our assurance that this washing is for me. So that just as the water of baptism washes away the filth of the body, so also the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins. And then in the third place, we are given assurance that we are washed by the fact that Christ calls baptism the washing of regeneration. He uses the strongest possible language when He describes baptism to teach us that it washes. Not that that external water itself washes us from our sins, but especially because that water is a sign and a seal of the real internal work that Jesus does by His blood and Spirit. And that's the way this section of the Catechism concludes at the end of answer 73, especially that by this divine pledge and sign, He may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. The Heidelberg Catechism has an important question that it poses to us in Lord's Days 26 and 27. What is the testimony of baptism? What message do we receive as that sacrament is administered? And the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to all who are His, to believers and their seed, as many as He has called, is this: you are washed from your sins by My blood and My Spirit. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Assure us by the gospel and by the sacrament that we are washed. And encourage us with this message, we may have confidence before Thee that our sins are forgiven and that our hearts are renewed, that we may serve Thee in gratitude and love. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter number 110. 110. This is Psalm 40, which is the next psalm that we're up to as we sing through the psalms each Lord's Day. And in this psalm, we beseech God for His mercy, which is what sent Jesus Christ to the cross as the ground of our washing. Let's sing the three stanzas, all three of 110. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.